I love praying. Father, I just ask that you speak to us and let our ears be open, our hearts be open to receive your word. Father, in this moment, we turn down every noise that's around us, maybe the stuff that we may be going through, so that we can fix our eyes upon you, so that we can hear what you're saying to us. I thank you that it's going to be clear, and I thank you that we're going to walk away changed and refreshed and encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say, amen, 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 amen. Unlikely people. Have you guys enjoyed the series of unlikely people? So our first unlikely person was Abram. Then our second one was last week with Pastor Darren, which was Gideon. And our third unlikely person is going to be a woman. Can I have the woman go, yay, woman, yay. And this woman's name is Deborah. Does anyone know Deborah? Or know of Deborah? If you don't know Deborah, that's great. If you know of her, that's great. If you know everything about her, that's still great, because we can still learn something in Scripture. But with Deborah, what I find with her is that I find her story really weird, but really awesome at the same time. Like, really weird, but really awesome. And I want to lay down a foundation before we get into talking about her. So with Deborah, if you're writing notes, Deborah was the only female judge in the Bible, and she was exceptionally good in many fields. Deborah. She served ancient Israel as a prophet, judge, and a military leader, and perhaps one of the most significant characters within the Bible. Are you following me? So what were judges? Because Pastor Darren talked about a judge last week. If you didn't know, Gideon was a judge. But what were judges? They were chosen for a particular position with the responsibility of fairly judging others. They were put in place to judge other queries. They were tasked for making sure that justice was upheld among the people. So the people would come to a judge, and the judge will give them a verdict. There were also people who served roles as military leaders in times of crisis. God used judges. Listen to this. This is very key. This is like, out of everything they did, this is what their main use was. God used judges to rescue the people of Israel. So even though they were doing, when people came up with their queries or their arguments, the judge will be there to take care of it, but the main purpose for a judge was to rescue the people of Israel. And you might be asking this morning, oh, Deborah sounds amazing. Deborah looks amazing, but why would she be unlikely? She was unlikely because she was a woman. Back in those times, there were gender biases. Women in those days, compared to men, were not of high status. You got to keep that in mind. In the Old Testament, back in ancient times, women weren't high status. For example, this is the crazy part. This is what I discovered, is that if a man was killed by a woman, it would be shameful for the man. That's crazy. Not because she did something wrong and killed a man, but it's just shameful for the man to be killed by a woman. That's how low they thought about women. To have a woman as a warrior, because there were women warriors back in ancient Israel, to have a woman warrior was rare, but to have a judge who was a woman was super rare. And she was the only one. Are we okay? So we're going to unpack her story. We're going to go through the whole book of Judges, kinda, and then go through the whole chapter 4 of Judges, because her story is laid out in two chapters, which is in chapter 4 and chapter 5. But I'm only going to go through chapter 4 this morning, because we don't have all day to go through all Judges. Are we okay? Okay. Are we okay? Talking to me? Yeah, cool. So Judges chapter 4. I want to start from verse 1. And the people of Israel, again, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Okay, there's going to be a lot of words this morning. It's going to sound like a blur when I say it, but just read up there. So the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. I want us to look at this verse 1. Can we go to verse 1? Like, before we even get to the story of Deborah, because Deborah's in this, she's literally a couple verses after this. But before her story is told, we see in verse 1 that in the people of Israel, again, Deborah was evil in the sight of the Lord. Key moment. Israel, what? Again. You might be going, oh, judges can't relate to me, but how many times do we do something again where we walk and do evil in the sight of the Lord? So you might be going, oh, but that's the Old Testament, but Israel is a perfect picture of what humanity looks like. From the get-go, before even Deborah is mentioned, you see Israel being rebellious again. The same Israel that was rescued out of Egypt, again, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. The same Israel that walked through the Jordan River, the same Israel that walked through the Red Sea, again, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. We see this again, again. And it's really funny because to understand Judges, you have to understand Joshua. Are you guys all right? Someone is going to give a breakdown. We've got to understand Joshua. So in Joshua chapter 24, you know that famous scripture that people use, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was towards this moment. Because in Joshua 24, if you read the whole chapter, it's quite hysterical in a way, because Israel goes back to Joshua and goes, we're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua goes, then put your idols away and put everything that is evil away and seek God's face. And then they keep going, don't worry, Joshua, we will. And this is Joshua just about die. He's about to die. His story is about to end. And he's trying to remind the people, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So please do the same thing. And the people of Israel, don't worry, Joshua, we are going to keep seeking the Lord's face. How many of us sound like that? Because Israel is like a good picture of what the church looks like. And at the end of chapter 24, verses 11 to 28, they paint this picture with Joshua, where they go to Joshua, let's make a covenant with you that we're always going to seek God's face. I find that very weird, because a covenant is a blood oath. It's not just about shaking your hand. There's a blood oath to that. And then we have the story from Judges 1 all the way to Judges 4, where Israel, again, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And I want to show you this pattern. I want to show you this pattern throughout Judges. But if you go before Judges, you'll see this pattern. We're going to go to Judges 3:12. So the chapter before, listen to this. And the people of Israel, what? Again, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And then listen to the second part. This is very vital. The Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Let's go to Judges chapter 6. In verse 1, it says this, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. Let's go to Judges 10. Hope you're writing scripture. The people of Israel, what? Again. Did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth of the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, the gods of the Philistines, and they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. Let's go to Judges chapter 13. So that, and the people of Israel, again. Oh, do you see this pen? The spiral pattern of humanity. going down. The Israel people, again, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And you may be asking, why do we need to know this? We need to know this, and this is the lesson that I want us to learn, because I'm not going to shy away from it, that sin has consequences. Every time Israel did something wrong, God handed them to the enemy. And today, God has grace and love. We can go, oh, God loves you, yeah, yeah. He does love you, but there's also consequences to our sin. It's like if you steal something from the shop and you get caught. You can say sorry, but there's going to be consequences to what you did. Why is that? Because it's justice. And when someone doesn't get, when someone steals something and they get nothing for it and they just get set free, people are like, oh, where's the justice? And we serve a God that who is what? Just. Every time the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, God handed them to the enemy. And I want to say this, and I want to be very clear as I say this. If you are practicing sin this morning, can I encourage you to stop? And I'm not talking about we all fall short of the glory of God. Like, oh, you did a trip up. Like, you did a mistake and something happened. I'm talking about if you're intentionally sinning in your life. What it means to sin is this. To sin is to miss the mark or to rebel against, to reject, to disregard God, to fall short of what God requires of us is to sin. Are we okay? Sin has consequences, and you see in the story that it starts off with the sin of Israel, and there's a consequence to that. The thing about sin is that sin will tell on you. I don't care how much you hide your sin, sin will tell on you. Sin leads to death. Sin may be fun now, but sin corrupts you from the inside out. Are we okay, guys? It's not telling off or anything. We just got to be reminded that sin has consequences. And if we really take on board of that sin has consequences, we will make sure that we do all our efforts, not to concentrate on not to sin, but to always seek God so that we keep close to Him. So every time the enemy tries to come, every time a decision needs to be made and you know it's wrong in your heart, you stop it right there. Because once you do it, sin. So let's go back to Judges. Let's go from verse 1. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth-Shaveta. Okay, that one. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Verse 4. Now Deborah, hey Deborah, what's up Deborah? This was Deborah. So Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebedoth, was judging Israel at the time. It's real cool and real funny and real like weird, because it doesn't really tell her story. It just tells it to the point where she's a judge. I try to research about Deborah. It's hard to find her past. Maybe it's like that to like be mysterious. I don't know. So verse 5. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. In verse 5, it talks about she was under the palm of Deborah. The only reason why people believe that it was called the palm of Deborah is because she was there always. She was just under a tree, always there, so people called it the palm of Deborah, because they knew that's where they find Deborah. Verse 6, she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. Barak said to her, if you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Are we okay? Follow me? Yeah? Verse 9, and she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going would not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. All my ladies, yay, hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So let's just break this down. That's a lot of information in just that one, like, few passages. So this is the breakdown of Jordan's version, okay? The people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Cool. The Lord sold them to King Jabin, who oppressed them for 20 years. Cool. The people didn't like it, so they cried out to God for help. Deborah, who was judging Israel at the time, was sitting under her tree to make judgment. She then, under her tree, summoned a man named Barak and reminded him that God said to gather troops to defeat King Jabin, who was enslaving Israel. Barak didn't want to do it unless Deborah went with him. Listen to that. Barak wouldn't do it unless Deborah went with him. Deborah said yes, and said, Sisera, the commander of King Jabin's army, will die by a woman's hand and not yours, Barak. What we see in part of the story is, I put it down to these two words, grace and mercy for Israel. Do you notice, like, no matter how many times, when someone says again, like, that means how many times, like, again, like, multiple times. But do you notice in the story that even though Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord again, that God kept his eyes on them? I was sitting in worship, and I wanted to bring it up earlier, but I knew I was going to preach about it. This is why I know this is Deborah was the right woman to preach about today. Because even though Israel was in their sin, God was over here, I still see you. Which is the picture for us. Even in our sin, God still sees you. Even in your pain, God still sees you. And when I was sitting here and during worship, I just wanted to encourage somebody in here, whatever you may be facing right now, well, it might be your family, it might be work, it might be just yourself, you're battling things inside you, can I just remind you, God sees you. God is not a God who forsakes you or looks away from you, but he actually sees you, because God says that the reason why he forsook his son so that he wouldn't forsake us. And that was New Testament. This is old, which shows that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he sees you and I. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Like that, like when I read that, I'm like, I can't believe, God, you keep seeing Israel. You keep loving Israel, and you keep having faith for Israel, even though Israel were a pain in the butt. But doesn't that look like you and I? Are we okay? No matter how far Israel walked away from God, God seemed to always keep his eyes on Israel. And like I said just before, can I encourage you, someone here today, you may be similar to Israel in their kind of position, but I want to remind you, God does see you. No matter how many again moments you have, God sees you. And so when I was reading this, I was like, okay, God, cool, that's all right. Why did you keep your eyes on Israel? Why didn't you abandon them? Because there's time with us, man, we'll get to a point where we're like, nah, no more, nah, I'm giving up. But God, in all his beauty, he remained his eyes on Israel, and he never abandoned them. The reason why is this, I came to this point. God was waiting for Israel to cry out for help. When people picture God, they, for some reason, they picture this God that is so stern, so firm, and all this, but he is kind of firm, but he's also grace and truth and mercy encompassed in one. That's the type of God that we serve. And God was just waiting for Israel to say, hey God, I need your help. Can we go to verse... Can we go to verse 2? I want us to read it. And the Lord sold them into the king, a hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Verse 3. Then the people of Israel cried out. Can we go back to verse 2? The Lord sold them to the hand of King Jabin. Let's go to verse 3. Then the people cried out. And on the bottom, what does it say? The people of Israel cruelly for what? 20 years. Think about it. Israel didn't cry out for 20 years. Israel. You might be going, oh yeah, 20 years. No, that's a big deal. They chose to stay in sin for 20 years when all they had to do was cry out. How many of us are so stubborn to go, God, nah, I got this, I know what I'm doing, but not noticing they're living in the consequences of their sin. When God's saying, can you just cry out to me? Because I see you, but I can't do anything until you cry out. Maybe the situation that you're going through right now, maybe what you're facing, whatever it may be, have you cried out? Or have you like, oh, I can't believe he's like that. Or I can't believe she's like that. Or I can't believe my family is like that. I can't believe my boss is like that. But what would happen if you cried out? We're quick to blame. We're quick to turn it to somebody else because Adam did it. Oh, Lord, you're the one who gave me this woman. Didn't he? Like, he was quick to blame. He's like, you're the one who gave me her. And all the husbands like, yeah, sometimes like that. No. But we've always been quick to blame. And you know what? What's silly about this story is that Israel chose to live in sin for 20 years. And it only required a shout out for God to move. What? Like that blows my mind. That blows my mind that they would rather live under the cruelty under King Jabin than be free as what God called them to be. But are we like that? Aren't we like that? They would rather live how we want to live no matter what the consequences is that we choose not to cry out to God because we're too stubborn to. Are we okay? We don't want to admit when we're wrong. We don't want to cry out for help because of our pride and stubbornness. They would rather choose to stay in the same old place, doing the same old thing, going nowhere. Can I say that again? We would rather choose to stay in the same old place, doing the same old thing, going nowhere. And we've got to understand the people of Israel. The people of Israel was God's chosen people. They're like set aside for the good works of God. Israel, God's people. But they would rather live in 20 years under torment and cruelty than cry out to God. What I've discovered over my life, and I hope you have too, and many, many may have, that God isn't going to force himself upon you. I love that about God. Even though he could, he won't. It's funny, eh? We as a church, like when I say church, the church is a body, how we try to force ourselves to people when God doesn't do it? It makes no sense. But the thing is, what God is waiting for, he's waiting for us to cry out. But there's something significant when Israel cried out. This is part of Deborah's story. From the moment they cried out to God, listen to this, God was already in position to send Deborah and Barak. I've been reading Judges like all week. Like it's been inspiring me hard out. When Israel, Lord, we need your help. God was already in position with Deborah and Barak. Let's go to verse 6. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, listen to these key words. Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and troops, and I will give him into your hand. This is Deborah. Do you notice what the approach that Deborah did? Let's go to verse 6. She sent and summoned Barak. And what did she say? Has not the Lord. She didn't say, God told me to tell you to do this. Why is that important? It's important because God already spoke to Barak. But he had to have a Deborah to remind him of what God said. She says, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Deborah's not telling Barak that you have to go out and get your army together. She's reminding him of what God already said. The one thing that this shows us, or many things that shows us, about Deborah is this. She was close to God, but not only was she close to God, she wasn't afraid to speak out. This is important for us to understand and know about Deborah. That she was close to God and wasn't afraid to speak what God is saying. See, the wonderful thing I see about this part of the story is that God positioned Deborah and Barak in advance so that when Israel cried out, God already had the answer on the way. Because this tells us that God already told Barak what to do. This tells us that we don't know how many years ago, we don't know what the time frame was, but all I know it was before Israel cried out. Are you following me? Even in Israel's sin, God was paving their way out, so they cried out to God and God would deliver. Which comes to this point, God always has a way out of your mess. We see Israel in a mess. We see Israel like this, in this downward spiral, taking all the cruelty from King Jabin for 20 years. And in that moment of 20 years, God calls Barak and says, Barak, can you please collect an army together? 10,000 troops. This is for men. He was talking to a man. The reason why Deborah was raised up as a woman because men weren't listening back then. Men still don't listen now. And all the mothers are like, yeah, man, hard. I told him to clean his room today, but he didn't. No, like. But the reason why Deborah was raised up was because men wouldn't take their own. Because men wouldn't stand up. And you see clearly in Scripture that Barak was told by God to do something and he wouldn't. He didn't listen. He's like, yeah, God, no, yeah, not yet. And it takes a Deborah. Well, my ladies, Deborah, it takes a godly woman to speak and say, this is what didn't God say to you to bring an army together? Didn't he say it to you? Oh, yeah, true, yeah, that's right. It shows that Men, sometimes we have a voice that, like, God speaks to us, but we don't listen. And can I encourage you, men, to listen to the voice of God? Ladies, if God's speaking to you and telling you, you don't have to shout at your man or whatever, but just remind him, hasn't God said? I mean, truthful. Hey, Caesar. Your wife's like, hasn't God said, Caesar? But you know what? Even in the mess of Israel, God had a way out for Israel. Before Israel cried out, God had a way out. Let's continue his story. Let's go to verse 8. Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Oh my goodness, men. Oh, just the story just like drives me. Like there's this tension between me. Like, you know, like listen to the words what Barak says. If you will go with me, Deborah, I will go. But Deborah, if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go to the army. Look how silly it is. Because men weren't standing in their place. This is a story about a woman, but this is also a story about a man to stand up and be pillars of what they're supposed to be. And then verse 9 says, and she said, I'll surely go with you, nevertheless the road on which you are going will not lead you to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went to Barak to Kedesh. Verse 10, and Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh, and 10,000 men went up at his heels, and Deborah went up with him. This is crazy because Barak, a man, would not go into battle if Deborah, a woman, wouldn't go with him. Does that story sound weird to you? Shouldn't the male fight for the family or fight for the nation? But for some reason in the story, this man didn't have enough courage. So he seeked a woman who had the courage of God in her to say, if you can come with me, I know I'm going to be all right. But if you don't come with me, I'm not going. That's a big deal. It's a big deal because if you notice through what he says, is that Barak puts his ego aside and understands that God's hand's upon Deborah. Even though he shouldn't need Deborah to go to battle. But he needed a Deborah. Why? Because she had the courage. It's important for us to understand this because this is the time where it was a patriarchal society, meaning it was men-dominated. But perhaps, even though scripture doesn't say, but you can read between the lines, perhaps Barak recognized something over Deborah. This is not a point or anything, but I just want to encourage us. We all need a Deborah in our life. We need a Deborah, the one that keeps us accountable to what God has said, and one who will walk the journey with us. That's a Deborah. Unafraid to tell you what God has said, but also has the courage to go, I'm going to walk with you. It's important to know this, because Deborah didn't go, oh yeah, you go do it and leave him aside. There was actually discipleship that took place. Hence the reason why we need each other within the church. Deborah understood it. Barak understood it. And if they could understand it, well, then we should understand that we need community to walk with us. We need a Deborah. But we also see in the story what we just read in verse 9, Deborah's wisdom. Let's go to verse 9. I want to show you her wisdom in this. Because this is a shot at men as well. Like, this is another shot at men. And she said, I will surely go with you, nevertheless, the road of which you are going will not lead to your glory. Will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. It seems that Deborah understands where Barak's heart is at. That she tells him that victory is not for you. or the glory is not for you. And I see it as this. We as men especially seem to find a way to take glory that God has done. Are we okay? We see this in the Bible with a lot of men in the Bible, that they try to take the glory that God has done. Men in the Word have done it a lot. The glory that should be bestowed upon God, we bestow upon ourselves. This is not just for men, this is for all of us. When God delivers us and we're like, oh yeah, we made it and God brought us through. But you think you did it by your hand. Are we okay? Have you been in moments where that you had your breakthrough and then the first thing you do was just rejoice in your breakthrough without thanking the person who brought you to that breakthrough? I've been in many moments where God has delivered me through a lot of stuff and I didn't stop to thank him. But it made it look like that I was the one who did it. But I didn't do it. It was him. How easily it is for humanity to bestow glory upon yourself and not actually bestow glory upon him. The world does it clearly in front of our eyes and we accept it as normal. Oh man, you've done a wonderful job, blah, blah, blah. But if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be here. So instead of Barak killing the general of the army, he would then get a woman to kill him. Are we okay? Let's go to Judges verses 17 to 23. Let's continue. So this moment here, this is after the moment of, like, this is between battle. So we got this moment where Deborah calls out Barak and says, hey, didn't God tell you to do something? Why aren't you doing it? He's like, oh, if you come with me, I'll come with you. So they gather all the people, they gather the 10,000 troops, and they go do what they need to do. And then they have the battle, ting, 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 battle. And this is between the battle. In verse 17, but Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael. Are we following the story? Run all good? The wife of Heba the Kenite, for there were peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heba the Kenite. So there's this woman who sees Sisera running away and he's like, hey, Sisera, we got peace with you. Come here, come here. Verse 18 says, and Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not be afraid. So he turned aside into her tent and she covered him with a rug. So he comes in, he's fleeing from the battle because they're losing. And so she's like, come, 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 you're all good. Come sit here. And she chucks a rug over him. This is where it gets gory, guys. This is where it gets gory. I love this part. Covered him with a rug, verse 19. And he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, this is the general of Jabin's army who's running away from the battle because he knows he's losing. He says to Jael, this lady, Jael, stand at the opening of the tent and if any man comes and asks you, is anyone here, say no. But Jael, the wife of Heba, took a tent peg. Listen to this. This is cool. I'm excited. You don't have to be excited. Okay. But Jael, the wife of Heba, took a tent peg and took a hammer into her hand. And then she softly went to him and drove the peg into her temple. That's cool. Don't you think that's cool? I like that. That's like... So this man's like weary from battle. He knows he's lost. And she's like inviting him. But God set him up. God, can we go to verse 9? So we see the story where God brings him to a tent. And Jael is like there and covers him, gives him skim milk and whatever. And she tiptoes around with a tent peg and a hammer. And it says, that another version says that she drives the peg into his temple and goes into the ground. And it shows this beautiful picture of Sisera and what God did beforehand. It's in verse 9. For the Lord will sell Sisera into a hand of a woman. Can we go to verse 2? Oh, verse 3, sorry. Oh, it's playing up. So it says, Deborah says to Barak that Sisera will be sold into the hand of a woman. Do you notice the same language happens at the start of the story? Where it says this, in verse 1 it says, and the people of Israel again, Deborah was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died, and the Lord sold them into the hand. There's this transaction that takes place where sin has consequences. Israel sinned, God sold them into King Jabin. Sisera was cruel to Israel, and for that sin, he sells them back. There's this justice that takes place with Sisera. Let's go back to the verse 17. Oh no, 21. But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand, and then she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground. Ooh, like, just pretend your head's on the ground and a tent peg. Do you wonder why there's not many children's books? Because of that. You can't put that in a story. Like, that's not normal. And went to the ground while he was fast asleep from weariness, so he died. Of course he died. It was a temple. So he died. And behold, as Barak was pursuing Sisera, Jael, in all her calmness, like, this is why I think women are sometimes crazy, because she did something crazy and just walked out of the tent like, oh, hey, Barak, come over here. Like, it just shows that women are a different design than men, man, far. Behold, this is verse 22, Barak was pursuing Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, come, I'll show you the man whom you're seeking. So he went into the tent, and there laid Sisera dead with a tent peg in his temple. What a crazy story. Verse 23, so on the day that God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel, and the hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. What a way to die. As I said, man, like, women are crazy. Like, whew, like, crazy, man. Like, the story is crazy that we don't have children's books talking about Deborah, but we got a lot of children's books about Gideon, because that's like not as gory as this one. But what I see is that the people of God rebelled, and then God chose an unlikely woman. A woman that in her society shouldn't be a judge, but God chose her anyway. Why? Because men wouldn't stand up and take their place. And in that moment, God delivered Israel out of the torment of King Jabin, and they were set free. It took this amazing woman of God to really be the stepping stone for Israel's freedom. Out of all this, this is what I want to encourage us with. Pursue a life to be a godly man, and pursue a life to be a godly woman. We need godly men and godly women. Not people who just attend church. Not people who just go, oh, I go to Hills NZ. Instead of that, you're like, I'm a child of the Most High God. I know who I am because my God knows me and I know him. There's more to it than attending church, but God is calling us and wanting us to be godly people. Can I encourage us to turn away from sin? Can I encourage us to look unto Jesus? Can I encourage us in the times of that we may be like going through stuff, that our first response shouldn't be the media, the first response shouldn't be Facebook, the first response shouldn't be family, but the first response should be God. Cry out to God. Because when we cry out to God, God will deliver us. Every time Israel cried out in the Old Testament, God delivered them. There's not enough crying out. Why? Because we get so stubborn in our ways that we don't want to cry out and look weak. No, you're strong for crying out. Can I say that again? You are strong for crying out to God. Can I have the team up? The thing with Deborah, she spoke wisdom. She was close to God. And she gave advice to people and wasn't afraid with it. Like with Barak. Has not the Lord commanded you to go? Because she understood that, hey, can I encourage you, Barak? God told you this a year ago or 2 years ago. God still wants you to do it. With this picture of Deborah, we need Deborahs in our lives, but we also need to be Deborahs for people. It's not enough for us to go, oh, can I have a Deborah in my life? No, can you be a Deborah for somebody else? It might be someone in your family. It might be someone, your friend. It might be whatever it may be. But imagine if we could be like a Deborah, where we speak the heart of God. We're not afraid to. That we have courage to walk with alongside people who tend to not be the people that church people walk aside with. Can I say that? If God can walk alongside sinners, then we can too. If God can accept the prostitute and turn her life around, we can too. If God can take a tax collector that many people hated, we can too. We can do that for the drug addict. We can do that for anybody. We need to be a Deborah for somebody, but we also need Deborahs and allies. That's the story of Deborah in a nutshell. If you really wanted to take some homework, I encourage you to read Judges chapter 5. It's called the Song of Deborah. It literally confirms everything that Deborah did. And it's amazing. Like I can't remember if it was verse, and it says, wake up, Deborah, wake up. Because God's calling her to go, hey, my men are not listening. I need you to wake up and take charge today. So if I want to encourage you to go back to the Word and read Judges 5, and you'll see this beautiful picture of God rescuing Israel when they are just too stubborn to, and God delivers them through a hand of a woman. Children, listen to your mothers. Even children that are old like me, listen to your mothers. If your mothers are still here. If your mother's not here, listen to godly woman. There's something beautiful about a godly woman in the house that God really just puts his hand on. So don't forsake what they say, men and everyone else. We need godly women. Amen? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. There's so many lessons to learn from the book of Judges, especially with Deborah's life. And I pray whatever stood out to us personally, I pray that just keeps marinating and permeating in us over this week. And Lord, Father, that we will find Deborahs in our lives, but we'll also be a Deborah to somebody else in our lives. I pray, Lord God, that if we're going through stuff and we haven't cried out, God, in this moment, we cry out to you. We go, God, can you deliver me from this? Can you save me from this? And I thank you, Lord Father, that you're faithful and just to accomplish what you've said. And you, when we ever cry out, you always rescue us. And so, Father, we just thank you for the grace and mercy that you have over our lives. We thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. We are so excited to see the move of God happen in us first and then around us. Lord, we give you honor and glory. And in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say, amen.